Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Gypsies come round to my door, and downstairs ran my lady all. One sang high and one sang low, and one sang bonny, bonny Biscay all. Then she took off her silken gown, and dressed in hulls of leather all, the dirty rags around my door. She's gone with raggle-taggle gypsies all. Gone with a raggle tackle gypsies all, go harness up my milk white steed, go fetch to me my pony all, and I will ride and seek my bride, who's gone with a raggle tackle gypsies all. So he rode high and he rode low, he rode through woods and copses too, until he came to a wide open field, where he espied his lady o. Why did you leave your and your house and lands and money all to go and see a rolling ride along with a raggle-taggle gypsies all? What care I for my new wedded lord and the house and lands and money all? Tonight I'll seek a rolling ride along with a raggle-taggle gypsies all. Last night you slept in a goose feather bed, with a sheet stirred down so bravely all. Tonight you'll lie in the cold open field, along with a raggle-taggle gypsies all. Sheets turned down so bravely all. Tonight I'll lie in the cold open field, in the arms of the raggle-taggle gypsies all.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114-281-4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops that quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippett Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
We'll be right back.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Commuters Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Sorry we were a little bit late. We had a few technical issues, so sorry about that. This is Chris Nelly here, and I am with...
I'm Bradley Middleton.
How you doing, Brad?
I'm not bad, how are you?
I'm all right. It's been a couple of weeks since I last been here, I'll be honest. Yeah. You know, it's been a while. It sounds strange not having Oliver here. You know, I'm always used to having Oliver.
So am I, yeah.
You know. So how's it feel to be in the director's chair today?
It feels weird because I'm always sat on the other side of the desk. Yeah. So it feels weird me doing it for once.
How are you finding it so far?
It's good, yeah, I'm enjoying it.
So it looks very technical, doesn't it? But I'll tell you something, it's when you get used to it, it's so easy.
And
so how what have you been doing for the past few weeks in there, Brad?
I've restarted playing Red Dead Redemption 2 again.
Right.
Modding one of the guitars that I got a few weeks ago, so, you know, doing that. Guitar stuff.
Sweet. Yeah. And then when I've got to talk to you about Red Dead Redemption 2. I mean, it's a great game. I think it's so underrated.
It's a brilliant game.
I mean, a lot of people rate it very highly.
Yeah.
But do you feel like there's a lack of content for the game?
For the online, especially.
Yeah. I mean, compared to what GT Online got, I mean, it got years and years of support for it.
It did, yeah.
And I was expecting a little, just probably about a couple of years, not as much as what GT Online got, because obviously GT Online and Red Dead Redemption are one or two different things,
yeah.
Even though it's the same creator. But I don't know, I think I'm a bit disappointed in the online, because it kind of gave you a bit of a campaign, online campaign, and it just ended abruptly.
Yeah.
You know, and I was hoping it was going to give you a bit more about what's going to happen next, but it didn't do that.
Yeah, I think it's, well, for me at least, I think it's because Rockstar were mainly focusing on GTA 5 online.
GTA 5.
Because that, I'd imagine, still making them a load of money,
yeah.
I'd imagine.
It is, you know, it's unbelievable to say how many years it's been out, and even though we've recently got a PS5, about 5 years ago now, was it, something like that? And it is still the most top-selling game out there. It's unbelievable,
what,
isn't
GTA
it?
5 is?
Yes.
That and Minecraft, yeah.
So, but are you looking forward to GTA 6 when it comes out this year? Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But I think, honestly, if it doesn't come out this year, I think it's fine with me, because it gives them more time to cook, really.
Exactly.
And I think the more time you have, the better the game it is.
Work out all the kinks and stuff.
Yeah, because it's happened to a few games before, like, where you don't have much time. It's like, say, example, Modern Warfare 3. I mean, the new one, yes. Yeah, there's a bit of confusion there. There's two different types of Modern Warfare. There's Modern Warfare 3 for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, which is the older version. And there's a new version there's a rebooted version called Modern Warfare 3. I know it's a bit confusing, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I don't understand it myself, but, it's we only had 14 months and it didn't make a great game, did it? I mean, there were so many things missing. It was just too generic for me.
Yeah, I don't like how it ended either, the Modern Warfare 3.
No, I mean, it felt rushed. I mean, to say I would have preferred it if he actually just missed it a year and just made it like into a DLC. You know, that could have been a lot better than what... because they were focusing on a smaller DLC in Mexico at one point. Well, this is a rumour, by the way. And I think that would have been more interesting to play on that side than what we got with Modern Warfare 3, because I felt the story was all over the place, Ed.
Yeah, I can't even remember what happened in the story, really.
Well, they brought back an older villain from the original Modern Warfare. What's his name? Makarov. And, I mean, if you're going to bring back a villain, I don't think that's the way you should have brought him back, to be honest. That's my opinion. I mean, it felt like the campaign was more based on multiplayer levels that were already made for multiplayer.
It did feel more multiplayer.
And it was just cobbled together.
Yeah.
I mean, the open levels, the open missions, they were a disappointment for me as well. And, I mean, what do you reckon to the Black Ops 7 game?
I got about an hour into the campaign and I just stopped because I didn't like how you couldn't save the game and then continue.
Oh, you know, that really frustrated me. I mean, yeah. I've completed the first part. I've got past the first level and I thought, oh, you know what? This might not be as bad as what they say it is. I thought, you know, the critics of that.
Yeah.
Because some critics can be wrong with some certain games. I mean, they're mostly right most of the time, don't get me wrong, but for some of them are like, some games can be underrated.
Yeah.
I'll tell you an example of that later on. But, yeah, I thought the first mission, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden, it went to all sci-fi monsterverse kind of game. And that's not what Call of Duty's about.
No.
It's about World War, or wars and stuff like that, you know, fighting and stuff like that. So you kind of ruined it for me a bit, Activision, there. I'm sorry. But I'm hoping that you do get back on track with Modern War. Well, the next game, I'm saying it's Modern Warfare. I mean, there's rumours that it's going to be Modern Warfare 4, but time will tell. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I miss playing Finest Hour on the PS2. From like the early 2000s,
yeah,
God Finest Hour and Big Red One and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you know, but I don't think it actually kicked off the Call of Duty. I mean, it was the start of it, but I think it actually started to get popular with Call of Duty 4.
Yeah,
that was the first Call of Duty game that.
It really popularised it, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Call of Duty 2 for the Xbox was really great. Xbox 360.
I've still got that as well somewhere.
Yeah, that was a great game. Call of Duty 3 felt rushed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Call of Duty 4, masterpiece.
Yeah.
Call of Duty World at War was pretty good. I enjoyed that one.
That's my favourite of all the Call of Duties, is World at War.
And I really like Modern Warfare 2. It wasn't as good as Modern Warfare, I've got to admit.
Yeah.
But it was a good sequel to it. Black Ops. Now, Black Ops I really liked.
Yeah.
The first one was really good, I thought, in my opinion. The second one I enjoyed as well.
Yeah.
Because it was even though it was in the future and it went back into the past as well, it was still a solid Call of Duty game. I was expecting that for Black Ops 7 really.
Yeah.
And it, for some reason, they just made it into like, a mind mess, really.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a mess of ideas cobbled together. And I mean, it's like, why would you want to put zombies and monsters in cyborgs in a Call of Duty game? It's just, you just basically haven't got the concept back. You just ruined it now, you know. And
it's like a big random mishmash of stuff.
Yeah. But I thought the multiplayer and the zombies were great.
Yeah.
The multiplayer and zombies were great. It's just a campaign that I didn't like.
Well, I guess it's sort of become like a multiplayer first rather than a campaign first.
Past
10 years now it's been going like the multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Activision, if you're listening, anybody, I mean, because I'd like to hear your ideas. And I want to ask you as well, Brad. I mean, what do you feel needs changing with Call of Duty?
Hard for me to say, rather than be a bit more boots on the ground.
More boots on the ground, so...
I never liked the sci-fi stuff for COD myself.
Fine. That's, well, I think that's a lot of people's preferences, really. I mean, a lot of people have said that. I think definitely boots on the ground. I mean, we definitely need a lot more of that, and hopefully Modern Warfare will keep that. I liked the Omni movement that they brought in with Black Ops 6. I liked that. That were a good add-on. But I feel now it's getting a bit tedious. I think it needs a break.
Yeah, definitely.
It needs a long break. I say about, well, when I say a long break, about 2 years, 3 years, you know, focus on your ideas, because from what I heard, it's not just one studio that's making it.
It's multiple.
It's multiple. It's like 15, 16 studios working on one game. So you're talking about thousands and thousands of people. And it must cost them around nearly a billion, just to make one game. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of money, isn't it? But saying that, it's a lot of money for any game, really. I mean, Spider-Man 2. Yeah. I remember that one, and it was around £350 million to make. It's unbelievable.
Mad amount of money, isn't it?
It is. It just makes you wonder where the money's going, doesn't it? I mean, you know, it's like you say, it's because when you see the final game and you think it's cost that much to make, you think, really? You know, it's but I don't know anything about game development. I mean, I'm just saying it as an opinion, really, but everybody's entitled to their opinions, I think.
Yeah.
And have you seen the new Resident Evil yet?
I've not, no.
Have you played any of the games?
No. I keep meaning to, but never get around to it.
Right, well, there's a new game coming out next week, which is next Friday. Okay. I'm so looking forward to it. It's called Resident Evil Requiem.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it's supposed to be the end of the beginning.
Right, okay.
So it's not the end of a franchise. It's basically the 30 years. It's basically the end of all the 30 years of Resident Evil games. It's tying the story together, apparently.
Okay.
I don't want to go too much into it because if you haven't played it, I recommend playing it because it really is a great game. But it follows Leon S. Kennedy, who is one of the players will recognise, and a new person called Grace Ashcroft. So she's a new player in this game, and it follows on from where how do I put it? It continues the story that started 30 years ago. So you need to really, if you went in blind and didn't play the other games, I mean, you'd still be able to enjoy it because you could play it without understanding the story. But if you know the lore, if you know the story, you'll get that extra excited for it because you're finding Easter eggs and stuff like that, and you're finding more about the story and the lore and stuff. You know, it's such a great game. And if you like horror, I recommend it.
Hmm.
So, and we've come to I've got an interview that we need playing, and it's for, and I want to say thank you so much for Dr. Jacqueline Hall and Niall, and it's about National Apprenticeship Week.
Okay.
So, this will be interesting to hear. It's, if you go onto the downloads, if you can.
Where's the downloads again?
Just bear with us a few seconds, folks. We are.
I'm not using a PC person, sorry.
Tell you what, we'll play a song first, and we'll do the interview after this song. So we'll play a song first, and I'll try and find the interview. So sorry about that. Just bear with us a few minutes, and we'll get the interview out there. Good afternoon, welcome to Commuters Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and we have Jacqueline Hall. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chris. Lovely to be here in National Apprenticeship Week.
Thank you for joining me today. And I want to talk to you about apprenticeships, actually. I mean, I think they're a great idea, and especially for new school leavers and college leavers. So tell us a bit about what apprenticeship is.
Well, an apprenticeship is really a fabulous and unique opportunity to earn while you learn. And when I sort of talk about that, knowledge, skills, life skills, being part of a team, being able to challenge yourself in different ways. And then at the end of that, if you're doing a degree apprenticeship, you also have no student debt and you will exit with a degree. All apprentices within BAE Systems will progress into permanent roles, and they go into permanent roles that are interesting to them because they'll have had lots of different rotations during that period, which sometimes is 3 years, sometimes is 5 years, for example. But they settle on the areas of work that are of particular interest to them. So that might be testing, you know, if they're working in combat air, or it might be working on dreadnought submarines or Type 26 ships. It could be also in a whole myriad of other apprenticeships and support in logistics, supply chain, digital intelligence, even space. What I would say is that there is something within BAE Systems for everybody, and our commitment to an apprenticeship and to young people has been unwavering in the last decade. We've trained around 10,000 apprentices. We have over 5,000 apprentices on programme at the moment, and we will continue to recruit significantly for September 26. We are inviting people to take a look at our website. They could be one of the 1,100 people that could join us in September. And I would encourage them to look at www.baesystems.com/apprenticeships and almost dare to dream. The one thing I would say, though, Chris, is that people worry when they look at an organisation like BAE Systems and think, goodness me, you know, I'm just me. I couldn't possibly apply. They'll probably want people with the best exam results, and they'll only be interested in the kind of creme de la creme. So I want to put that myth to bed right now and say that we look at you as a person, and we recognize and have many apprentices that maybe haven't had the best start in life. Maybe mum and dad, you know, were struggling a bit financially. Maybe exams haven't gone as well. you know, if you were to talk to any of our apprentices who've been in that position, what they would be saying to those people is, just do it, apply. You've got absolutely nothing to lose and absolutely everything to gain.
I mean, that's interesting, Melissa, and thank you for sharing that with me, Jacqueline. I've got to ask you, I mean, do you need, like, a certain grades to apply for apprenticeships? I mean, any apprenticeship at all, really?
So an apprenticeship is linked to what's called an apprenticeship standard, which tells you about the occupation, mechanical fitting, electrical fitting, somebody who's in cybersecurity. And there are entry requirements, minimum entry requirements, I should say, that will help you to achieve. But what we have seen as a company, you know, in this kind of post-COVID era, is that some people just need a little bit of extra help with English and sometimes mathematics. And within the organisation, we have a whole marshmallow, if you like, of support that's around. Our business is to help our young people achieve. And my goodness me, they do. More than 90% in the last sort of 5 years alone have gone on to achieve their apprenticeship, and 100% of those go on into permanent roles. So the opportunities are there. It's just really about being brave and taking a deep breath and taking a look at the website and having a go.
And I mean, it's a great idea. I've got to say, it's great for giving people opportunities to learn and earn as well. I mean, do you feel that it's an alternative to university as well?
I think my opinion is probably less important than the parents and young people in our apprentice barometer survey. Over 2,000 of those would have agreed with you and said that they would, you know, prefer their child to pursue an apprenticeship, you know, sort of thinking about that long-term career, thinking also about job security. What was really interesting in the survey this year was that 80% of young people said that job security was an important factor. Now, a year ago, that was only 28%. So what a sort of staggering shift in opinion. And they want, you know, more than 8 in 10 say that they want to have a career and do meaningful work. They want to make a difference. So, again, if you're curious, we need curious people, because it's that that brings about the innovation that really drives the technology. We live at an incredibly fast pace these days. But, you know, young people, their minds, they think differently to people like you and me, Chris, and they can make the most phenomenal and fantastic contributions.
And I want to ask you as well, Jacqueline, if it's all right me asking, I mean, was you an apprentice yourself at one point?
I'm a little bit older, Chris, but my career actually began in a medical environment. So I suppose I did get that hands-on experience and also learning at the same time. But I come from a generation where, sadly, girls were not even encouraged to join the computer clubs at school. So, you know, that probably gives you a bit of a clue. And that's why it is so refreshing. I'm absolutely passionate about seeing young girls and females come into engineering. And in fact, 30% of our intake across the last few years have been females, and often going into those really non-traditional engineering roles like welding, caulking, which is again all linked to the work that we do on submarines, painting submarines. So that's the great thing, because they will get the word out through going back into their local communities as STEM ambassadors, again telling young people about how positive an experience having an apprenticeship with BAE Systems, or just being an apprentice themselves, and how it opens doors and unlocks their future.
And we have Neil, who's just joined us in the studio today. Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. It's Niall.
Oh, sorry, Niall. I do apologise. Sorry,
that's
Niall.
Okay.
I do apologise. I want to say thank you for joining me today. So can you tell us a bit about what you do as an apprentice?
Yes, I'm an aerospace engineering apprentice. That's BAE Systems based in Brough. And so currently it's a 5-year scheme, and I'm halfway through my second year. So I'm currently doing multiple different placements. So they're all 6 months, and it puts me in completely random, completely different corners of the business. So far I've had experience doing some functional level management, working with heads of engineering capabilities and resource management. I've also done a placement in a R&D team, again, doing some kind of like management, resource management people, and then like working with partnership universities to kind of collaborate projects. And I've recently started a new placement, working with the Typhoon and then within the fuel systems. So kind of collaborating with RAF pilots who've experienced some kind of fuel issue and then helping to solve those issues. So yeah, it's really, really varied apprenticeship that kind of puts you absolutely anywhere within the business.
That's fantastic, Niall, and thank you for joining me. I mean, we've got a few. I mean, there's so many questions I would love to ask you. And I want to say, Niall, I mean, what do you feel is the benefits of being an apprentice for our listeners?
I think there's multiple benefits. I'd say the biggest benefit is links into what I just mentioned about the placements, which is how varied it is. So when I started working at BAE, I had a previous career before that was different, and I wasn't sure exactly what my forte would be in engineering or where my interests would lie. So one of the biggest strengths is the fact that, like I say, it puts you in so many different areas, so you really get to experience many different departments, each which have their own areas of interest and strengths which make that position good for you. So yeah, I'd say the biggest advantage is just the width of experience that you get to really help you find your niche and the area that you're most interested in.
And I mean, did you always wanted to be in the aerospace engineering, or was there another scheme that you wanted to do before you became an apprentice?
Well, for me personally, I was never really sure what I wanted to do. So I said, so previously to this, I was actually a microbiologist, and I had worked as a microbiologist for a few years at a different company. And then for numerous reasons, I just decided that it wasn't the career for me, and then saw this opportunity as just something completely different, something that looked incredibly interesting. And then because it's an apprenticeship, it gives you the training that you need to do the job. So even though I came from a different industry, it gave me the building blocks that I need to become an engineer whilst earning a livable wage as well.
I want to say, Neil, thank you for joining me. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap this up right now because there's so many questions I would love to ask you. Unfortunately, we just ran out of time. But I would like to say, ask you for my final question is, what would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening right now about who want to be an apprentice?
I would say it's a fantastic opportunity, especially the degree apprenticeship scheme. The ability to earn while you learn is, like I say, coming from me as well, where I've gone to university the traditional way, I've got the debts as well, and then you go into like a entry-level wage. The ability to come into an entry-level wage and get a degree paid for and learn in a really supportive business is just incredible. I wish I did this 10 years earlier. I really do. So I would say, for anyone considering it, apply. Put your name in the hat, and you never know, you might get it.
Niall, Jacqueline, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I want to wish you all the best on your apprenticeship as well, Niall. So
thank you
for joining me today, and best of luck to you all.
Thank you. Bye.
And that was Dr. Jacqueline Hall and Niall. So thank you very much for joining me on the show, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, it's flown again, hasn't it?
It always flies.
It always flies. I mean, an hour's not long enough, I don't think. You know, I think we need to try and see if we can increase it somehow. He goes, I know it's too short.
We've been saying that for a while now.
I know, we always keep saying that, though, don't we?
Yeah.
I want to say thank you again, Bradley, for joining me today. Sorry we haven't had much chance to talk. And
it's all right.
Yeah. I'll definitely get you trained up on the desk next week.
Definitely. Yeah.
Have you got anything that you would like to say to our listeners that you would want to say before I mention anything?
Nothing that springs to mind right now.
No. Nope. Okay. So yeah, I mean, I've got something to say, but I would like to ask.
Okay.
If there's anybody that wants to join us or even be our one of our presenters, I mean, we're a friendly bunch of folks here, and we have a great chat about anything and everything. So if you want to come and join us on our show, you can get in touch with us on our Commuters Live Facebook page. You can also get in touch with me at sheffieldlive.org on our website. And you can get in touch with me on my Gmail account at chrisandelly89@gmail.com. Again, if you want to take part in a presenting role, or if you want to take a back role where you do just the producing or the editing, I mean, there's so many choices here at Sheffield Live. And, you know, I mean, as Bradley knew,
yeah.
I mean... How did you feel when you first started?
I was really nervous when I first started, but obviously now I've done it a bit more. I'm, you know, getting more comfortable the more I do it, sort of thing. So,
I mean, I hope I made you feel comfortable as well, yeah. You know, because it's, I mean, it is hard. I mean, it is hard when you're producing on air and talking on air. It took me, I mean, I've been here for 11 years and I'm still learning.
Yeah.
There's still so much to learn and... And I think it would have been the same with Oliver as well,
yeah.
Because it's like, when I first got here, I was really nervous. I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't even talk. I mean, I didn't even know where to start on radio. And after that, we said it just, all my worries just went away. And,
yeah.
You know, I feel like a completely different person now. I feel a lot more confident in talking to people, and it's definitely a game changer, I feel.
It's once you realise that you can do it, sort of thing, then you know you can do it once you realise that you can do it.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, this is a bonus as well, it's the people you get to meet as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to meet some fantastic people. I mean, I met a lot of celebrities online, and I will definitely get you into that like, one day, and I promise you I will do that. I mean, I met Chesney Oakes, Russell Watson, Reverend of the Makers. You get to meet some fantastic
people.
I will definitely get you two into that, I promise you. And,
that'd be mint.
So, again, if you want to join us on our team, we are still looking for volunteers. So you can join me, Oliver and Bradley on our Commuters Live show. You can get in touch with us at chrisandelly89@gmail.com. We also have our very own Facebook page at Commuters Live. Or you can get in touch with us if you want to find more information. You can look on the actual Sheffield Live website. This is Chris and I, and we are ending the show now. And I am with...
I am Bradley Middleton.
So this is goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And we will see you next Thursday. See ya.